This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We always start in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beneficent, the most merciful. We always declare the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of entire creation, the one who is in absolute control of entire existence. Every issue that you have and I have, He is in absolute control. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create ease for us, grant us good guidance, keep us steadfast, and our children, keep us away from shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately grant us all Jannatul Firdaus with His mercy. Ameen. My beloved brothers, my sisters, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were to be in this gathering, alhamdulillah, for a moment we might say that it would be something grand and great. Perhaps we're talking about Him, and perhaps we're mentioning Him, and we're actually trying to get closer to His entire way and everything He came with. But is it only that we're speaking about it? If He were to then join us back to the same homes we left a few minutes ago, would we not be embarrassed regarding many things that we have in our lives, the communications we have? If, for example, and this is obviously just an example in order to show you how far we have strayed from the real teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter who we are, if He were to ask us to use the mobile device you have now, would you be able to give Him and say, use it for 1 week, it's okay? The answer of that question, although it's hypothetical, obviously it's not going to happen to you and I, the answer of that question would actually show you something that you need to reflect upon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me to begin with, and then everyone else. And I say this because, mashallah, when we attend an Islamic gathering, we are Muslimin. The minute we leave from it, we hope we are still Muslimin. Some of us, we are such an embarrassment that we swear and we utter vulgar words to the very people whom the same Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us to watch our tongues when we talk to them. Those are the ones we don't watch the tongue. That's what's happening. And then, unfortunately, what shaitan has done over the centuries, you will notice what shaitan has done is he has reduced a lot of Muslims into paying lip service to the claim of love, with no real love being there, besides a little excitement a few times during the year. The rest of it is even in the nightclub, it's in adultery, it's in pornography, perhaps it is in so much of sin, alcohol, drugs, whatnot, robbery, thuggery, gangsterism, whatever else it may be. And yet, we sometimes don't realize that's the trap of the devil. Like I've said in the past, shaitan was also created by Allah. For a mu'min, it's good that you can use shaitan as a scapegoat to get out of the mess you're in. You did something majorly wrong to your brother, and then you come to him and say, "Bhai, you know what, please forgive me, it was shaitan." And the poor brother actually believes you. He says, "Yes, it was shaitan, let's embrace, it's done." MashaAllah. Yet we were the shayateen sometimes. In actual fact, yes, it is shaitan. If you identify the true devil, you will come to realize that we have a lot to protect ourselves from. And remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to save ourselves from the very devil that we are talking about. The Ayatul Kursis in the mornings, after Salah, after the Farad, for example, the last two or three surahs of the Quran repeated in the mornings and in the evenings, and even after Salah, some of the du'as, the few verses of Suratul Baqarah, do we read them? And then we expect not to be attacked by shaitan. My brothers and sisters, let me take you back. to a time prior to the birth, the blessed birth, the most blessed birth ever to occur. The father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name was Abdullah. He was also a leader. He was also a great man, revered, respected in Quraysh. His grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, also a leader of Quraysh, a great man. There is a story of Zamzam that occurred during that particular time when they had traveled or planned to travel and commenced the journey to go and resolve a dispute with a person far away, when suddenly they were dying of thirst. As they were dying of thirst, water began to gush miraculously at the feet of the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at that juncture, they were all, as they were just about before that, preparing to die. You know, when you're in a group of people in the middle of a desert and everyone thinks that all of them are going to go, nobody's going to be saved. The wisest thing, and none of us perhaps would have thought of it because we haven't come across that situation. That's how much Allah's blessed us. Today we're drinking water out of this tap. You know, it's purer than a tap. Little bottles that are here, you just pour it out. So pure. At that time, water was considered one of the greatest gifts of Allah. It still is, but it was considered that by the people. With us, we throw it away. The shower, even I feel guilty. As we are waiting for it to heat up, subhanAllah, the amount of drinkable water that has gone down the drain is something that is shameless. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me guidance to begin with, and then all of us. We can do something about it. Put a bucket, do something. So at that juncture, the problem was resolved because the water began to gush out, yet they were digging graves. What does digging graves mean? Because they were going to die one after the other. The best thing to do now is let's start digging graves. The only person who might not be properly buried is the last one from amongst us. Then they decided the matter is resolved. We don't need to go any further. This water, the man in charge shall be this particular person. That is only one example. But there is another example that sends a shiver down the spine and is hair raising. We all know the blessed year of birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was known as the year of the elephant. The year of the elephant. At that time, they used to remember the occasions by something that happened that was major. The year of the elephant. It was the year that the incident of the elephant occurred. When I was younger, I used to think there was a whole host of elephants. Later on to learn that there was just one big elephant. Al-Fil, one elephant, a huge one. So a man known as Abraha, according to the narrations, he decided to build a place of worship in further south in Yemen. And he wanted people to come. And astaghfirullah, the thought of the human being, some of us think like this as well. You know, that man's got a business. I'm opening a business. In order for me to do well, I need to break him. Subhanallah. So we want to break the man. The same happens sometimes even in the field of scholars, for example, the scholarship. A man says, oh, that guy is doing well. In order for me to do well, let me drop him. Not realizing we're all working for the same boss. It's the same company, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us guidance. May Allah open our doors. This Abraha decided, in order for my place to flourish, the economy will grow, whatever else will happen, I need to break the Kaaba. Because someone told him, no one's going to come here when there is a Kaaba in Makkah that everyone goes to. Why should they come here? He said, we can break it. Simple. Thinking like the mafia. Not realizing that he thought nobody can tackle him. And that's a very important point. He thought nobody can tackle him. He has the elephant and a strong army. He began to march. Marched on to Makkatul Mukarramah, and on the way, they were committing atrocities, you know, usurping this, taking that, doing whatever else they wanted to do because there was lawlessness. They were the only ones who wanted to achieve whatever at any expense and cost. So as they're going, they decided, you know what, we're going to steal a few things. They stole the camels. Camels belonging to the grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ by the name of Abdul Muttalib. They stole his camels, quite a few camels. The narrations make mention of differing figures, so let's not say the figure, but a lot of camels. So someone told this man who was one of the leaders of Quraysh that, you know what, they've taken your camels. He said, wait. He decided, I'm going to ask for those camels. So he went and he says to Abraha that, you know what, I need my camels. Now obviously, this man is coming to destroy this whole economy of Makkah, according to him. He's coming to break this house of worship so that no one goes there. He's coming to destroy it. Little did he know of a dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam earlier. وَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Oh Allah, incline the hearts of the people towards those of Makkah, or towards Makkah and its people. So all of us here, our hearts are somehow connected to Makkah. Right? Something happens in Makkah, it hurts us if it's something negative. Something positive happens, we are happy, right? We want to go there. We want things to be made easy. We listen to the changes in the rules of the visas. And one day we're happy, one day we're sad. One day we're excited, one day we're even more excited. May Allah make it easy for all of us to go there continually and to benefit from the trip there. One is to go there. The other is, what's your intention by going there? Remember that. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى دُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا أَوْ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. According to the first hadith that is mentioned in most of the books of hadith, whoever does a good deed with the intention that is different from that which is supposed to be, their reward will be according to their intention, even though outwardly it looks like they made hijrah, but inside Allah knows they were only going for a business deal, or they were only going to get married to a woman or to meet someone because that was the place they were going to meet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good guidance. So he says, I need my camels. This man says, you know what? How could you be worried about your camels when I'm about to do something far greater than that? As a leader, he should have been saying, according to Abraha, he's saying, as a leader, this man should have rather said, you know what? Please leave the Kaaba. Let's strike a deal. You do whatever, but don't touch this place. This place is sacred, and leave it. But no, Abdul Muttalib, this we're talking of the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He decided, he said, you know what? I need my camels. I need my camels. So the man, perplexed, he's thinking, what's going on here? He says, what about that house there that I'm about to destroy? That is when he made the very famous statement that we should all be knowing and understanding. Because remember, when someone is taking my water away, it is my duty to defend myself. And it is my duty to make sure that I get it back. If someone is harming me, it's my duty to make sure that I protect myself, my family members from harm to the best of my ability in a way that I can effect that protection or take back the water without causing bigger damage or harm. Remember that. If there's bigger damage, someone's taking my water, I'm going to lose how many rands? Maybe 10, 12, 15 rands perhaps. And if I were to try and defend my water by punching him in his face, perhaps the loss would be a few thousand rands and I might even be jailed for public disorder. Perhaps. So you need to weigh the pros and cons and check. If it is better for him to take the water, let it go. Leave it be. And it's gone. And never mind. Allah will deal with him. Don't we say that? It is wrong to say Allah will deal with the thief and then you leave your car open. But you have the alarm, you lock your car, you do what you can. As you're walking out and you see the thug trying to open your car, you can't just say, Allah will take care of the car and walk away. You have to do something about it. Either you scream, you yell, you start running in that direction. You might want to draw something that you might have somewhere around you in order to, you know, make sure that you want to fire in the air or something. I'm talking about here in South Africa, every other person has a gun. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. But when you can't do anything, then you have to say, may Allah, I leave it to Allah. May Allah deal with it. Because I'm helpless. Now it is up to Allah. You know, if a guy comes with a gun for this water, I'll say, brother, it was cheap. Even without the gun, I'll give you the water. You know what I mean? Subhanallah. So this man said, amazingly, أَنَا رَبُّ الْإِبِلِ. I am the owner of the camels. Hence, I want the camels. أَنَا رَبُّ الْإِبِلِ. I'm the owner of the camels. وَلِلْبَيْتِ رَبٌّ يَحْمِيهِ. And as for the house, it has an owner who will look after it, protect it. Subhanallah. Look at how powerful the statement was. I am the owner of the camel. I need my camels. As for that house, it has an owner. He will do whatever he wants. He'll protect it because now I'm helpless. Wallahi, if they were not as helpless, they would have defended it tooth and nail. Tooth and nail. But this elephant that came in was so huge, it was there to instill awe and terror in the people of Makkah. And that's exactly what it did in a lot of them. But some of them, like Abdul Muttalib, knew that this is the house of Allah. Subhanallah, it's the house of Allah. Even though it was prior to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is what happened. He says, وَلِلْ بَيْتِ رَبٌّ يَحْمِيهِ. Guess what Allah did? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلِ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِنْ سِجِّيلٍ فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. They thought they would come with a massive elephant. Allah says, one of the smallest of our creatures, known as this bird, Ababil, these little swallows, a special small bird. We decided those birds will become part of our army that will release a small, minute pebble from its beaks, subhanAllah, and make this entire army, including that elephant of theirs, become reduced to smithereens. Gone. You thought you were big. We can use the smallest thing to irritate you and even destroy you. People who die of malaria, may Allah protect us from all disease and grant cure to those who have sickness, be it terminal or non-terminal. Ameen. What was it caused by? A small mosquito that you didn't even see. And you're a big man, muscles, going to the gym, huge. Allah says, one mosquito, we sort you out. Just get up for Salatul Fajr. Come on. Sometimes that same mosquito, before it bites you, it's just getting you up for Fajr, right? You didn't hear the adhan, but at your ear, it's up. And you're wondering, you clap your own ear. Have you seen the person? Subhanallah. When the mosquito's coming near his face, he slaps himself. Subhanallah. Big red fingers. You're wondering, was it his wife? He says, no man, mosquito troubling me. May Allah grant us forgiveness. Allah destroyed completely that entire army. How many of us have that conviction in Allah? This is the house of Allah. I am here. I should feel the mercy of Allah. There is the mercy of Allah. The angels surrounding us, the rahmah, the barakah. If you don't feel the blessings when you gather for a beautiful lecture of this nature, or a lesson, or salah, or Quran, or something beneficial, then subhanallah, when will you feel that mercy? When will you feed? My brothers and sisters, I want to take you further. Obviously, there are many facts. We all know the facts. If I were to tell you, Rasulullah ﷺ, this happened to him, that happened, we all know the facts. But what I want to do today is to draw some practical lessons for you and I from a few of these facts. And I don't wish to take up too much of time, because it's better you go back with two or three facts and we'll come back some other time, talk about more. The others will also speak about many more factors that we learn from. Learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was conceived, his mother Amina binti Wahab expected him, and his father passed away. I can pause there and talk for 2 hours on that topic. His father passed away. How many women have lost their husbands in pregnancy? Think about it for a moment. How difficult do you think it may have been when Allah's most beloved was in the condition where his mother had just lost the husband and he was in the mother's stomach? Why would Allah do that? It shows that if you have lost your husband during pregnancy, it's not a sign of the anger or displeasure of Allah. Perhaps it could be that Allah has chosen you and your child, perhaps, for a much nobler cause. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And then what happened? She might have struggled, and he was born at some stage, and so many people took an interest because the man was not there anymore. The father wasn't there. The grandfather stepped into the picture and he wanted to take care of this child. And guess what happened? Many others also were prepared to take care of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had a blessed birth, miracles upon miracles that occurred. The lesson is, he was born and his father had already passed away, so he was an orphan. Hence the verses we heard earlier, where Allah is telling us never to despair. What hasn't Allah given you and I? أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. There is Allah speaking about the orphan. And Allah says, weren't you an orphan? And who gave you that abode, that goodness, that care? Whatever was needed, the nurturing, everything was given by Allah. So those who were born and their fathers had already predeceased that birth, it's not a sign of the anger of Allah. Nor is it a sign that Allah is upset with you. Not at all. But rather it is a sign that Allah may have just chosen you. There are studies done to prove that those who have had some form of deficit during growing up, if Allah has protected these people, do you know what happens? They actually grow up quicker and sooner. You look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you read the seerah, it says very clearly that he was more silent than vocal, which means he spoke less. He wasn't a man of so many words. He didn't just talk and yak it like you and I, may Allah forgive us. He was a man of a few words. His silence was far longer, not just after Nubuwa, from the very beginning. He used to ponder, think a lot, subhanAllah. One wonders, I don't know. But when people from amongst us have children, after they have left this dunya, we all worry. We say, hey, may Allah give me life. Life for what? May Allah give me life so I can see my children grow up. We all say that. It's a good dua. It's not wrong. But remember, sometimes your child might only be saved in your absence. Remember that. Sometimes your child might only be saved in your absence. Don't worry. Allah will take care. Make dua. Oh Allah, if I'm here, help me to take care of my children in the best way. If I leave, oh Allah, you take care of these children. May Allah grant us ease. So the Prophet ﷺ, as his grandfather took that responsibility, guess what? Subhanallah, he lost one after the other. His mother, his grandfather, and now what happened? He was with his uncle. It's not easy. It's not easy. My brothers and sisters, I pause for a moment. I want to tell you, many of us in our homes, we have children who are not orphaned through death, but they are orphaned in other ways. And that type of being orphaned is far worse. Sometimes the father is there, the mother is there, but they are too busy. They don't have time for the children. They don't care for those kids. They really don't have any form of responsibility. We need to change that. It's an amana. You don't know how long you're going to be with them. Put that phone away and spend time with the children. Cut out some of your unnecessary commitments, so to speak, in inverted commas, and come to your children. It's a bigger commitment. Cancel events and programs if you need be, or some business, whatever it might be, appointment. The day that they need you, it's far more important, and they need you. Very soon they'll grow. And you claim to be a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One brother asked me if the Prophet ﷺ says that أَنَا وَكَافِلُ الْيَتِيمِكَ هَاتَيْنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, myself and the one who takes care of an orphan will be like this, these two fingers in Jannah, and he joined the first two fingers. What about those who looked after their own children? SubhanAllah. It's a good question. He says, I never had the opportunity to look up. And I said, you know what? There are so many orphans out there. We need to understand every single person today requires us to acknowledge them. I spoke about it yesterday in Jumu'ah. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we stop acknowledging each other. That's why we're depressed. One of the reasons. Imagine if every one of us had a smile and we greeted each other, we spoke to each other. That's it. Not deep asking favors and this and that. Don't make someone's life difficult. Just acknowledge each other. Talk to each other. We think of one or two bad things and that's it. We're destroyed. We look gloomy. We are gloomy. We become depressed and we depress others just by looking at our faces because we've got no reason to smile according to us. That's wrong. Make yourself smile. Make yourself greet others, even if they don't greet back. You will change the world, my brothers and sisters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this to us. But from a young age, with the difficulties, he was still known as As-Sadiq al-Amin. He was still known as the most truthful and the honest, truthful, trustworthy. That's what he was. Well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at a certain point, subhanallah, you and I know, when you lose your mother, you lose your father. What happens? Like I was saying, in society and community, some of us have our mothers, we have our fathers, but they are not there. And sometimes what happens is a divorce takes place in our own societies and communities, and we use the children as a weapon. I warn you, my brothers and sisters, you will have no answer on the day of judgment. The same Nabi that we are claiming to learn more about in order to get closer will disassociate himself from you. Because you know what? You were warned by him. You cannot separate a parent from the child. Come what may, you cannot. Yes. The exception of where the parent has abused sexually or in a very nasty way that particular child, or is totally disqualified from an Islamic perspective due to criminal behavior or convictions. That the ulama will deal with. It's exception and it's not as grand as what's going on today. Today, that's it. You know, it's like the only divorce that existed or happened on earth. Look at how we're talking about divorce, yet the topic was about orphans. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because our children, we've orphaned them intentionally. Then when they have a deficit of a parent, that is going to be something that will come back to us with destruction. It's not productive, it is counterproductive. My brothers, my sisters, remember something. We are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've only mentioned two or three points. I'd like to wrap up in the next few minutes. I want to say something very interesting, and I always think about it. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were to see me, were to see you, any time of the day or night, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, would you allow him to enter your gathering? Would you allow him to sit with you to, you know, like I said earlier, to use your little device, to come into your room, into your home? You would have to cut out the habits. You know you have to cut out. So cut them out. Because a day will come. And this is by far so powerful. So powerful. When he will recognize the members of his ummah who were serious about following him. And he will grant them a seating with him on that hawd, on the pond, Al-Kawthar. He will recognize you. And you know what? For others, he won't recognize them. Will he recognize me? Sometimes people walk past us, they don't even know if we're Muslim. I promise you. Sometimes people walk past us, they don't even know if we're Muslim. I find it embarrassing sometimes. I say, Assalamu alaikum, the guy says, sorry man, I'm Hindu. And the one guy actually sat me down and told me, don't ever greet me again. And I'm like, I'm probably not going to see you again. He says, you know, that's my mom and dad. And whenever these Muslims pass by and they greet me, these people think I've converted to Islam. Problem for me. I said, I never ever thought of that. I'm so sorry. But I thought you were a Muslim. I said, maybe you should just become one. Solve the problem. But my brothers and sisters, the reality is we should never allow shaitan to take away our faith and make us only claim that we belong to the faith. Take away the love and make us claim that we love. So it's fake, it's false. How many of us lie to our spouses that we love them and yet we are saying it to someone else? Astaghfirullah. Or we lie to others that we love them. The same thing happens. Shaitan makes us tell or say or declare, you know what, I love. But do you really love the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It will show in your character, in your conduct, in your dress, in your habits, in the way you talk, in everything it will show. Today we have a major disaster, and I'm saying it because It is very embarrassing. It is very embarrassing. The disaster of pornography is such that you have people who've passed their sell-by date. When I say that, I mean once you're beyond 40, you know you passed your sell-by date. Because now you've gone, you're going downstream. If your life is going to be 80, you clocked 40, now you're going down, right? Some of you are looking at me like, hey, we're almost all here over 40. And you have people complain that, you know what, this is the habit that this person has. My brothers and sisters, I want to end off by telling you, please, if you love Allah and you love the Messenger, truly cut out your bad habits. Gone. That would be enough for you to go into Jannatul Firdaus. I promise you, cut out your bad habit. You know what it is. Your mouth, your whatever else. We've mentioned quite a few. You know what your own habit is. Something you might be, you know, going back to all the time. You really love Allah. You really love the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You really want to do yourself a favor. You really want Jannatul Firdaus. Do you want to be a companion of the same Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Akhirah? If the answer is yes, cut that bad habit here and now. Chop it and never go back to it by the will of Allah. If you make that promise alone, tonight was already a big achievement. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us give up our bad habits. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May we become regular with our salah. May we dress appropriately. May we be from among those who speak the truth, who abstain from bad and vulgar words, who don't hurt people and abuse them. May we be from among those who quit the smoking, the drinking, the gambling, the pornography, whatever else, the drugs, whatever it may be, the adultery. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect every one of us. Be strong, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Ummah needs you. It needs me. It needs all of us. But it needs good members of the Ummah. We are drowning right now across the globe. You know what's going on to us. People are making a mockery of the Muslim Ummah. They are tossing us left, right and center. You know why we're being tossed? Because that love, we need to do more about making it absolutely genuine rather than just paying lip service. We get angry when we hear what's going on across the globe. But we're not prepared to give up a cigarette. A cigarette. We're not prepared to give it up. But it's like we become Amirul Mu'mineen and your cigarette is not gone. Toss it today. Throw it out. And Allah will grant you Jannah if you do it for the sake of Allah. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.